changing it up a little, I brought a friend with me. His name's Birdie. And this is not me being hipster. This is me being safe, going, how can I preach and not feel like I'm going to stack it? And Bertie was our solution. Started off as Bob, but I have christened the barrel Bertie. So, yeah. I and my husband, with my two kids, have been coming to Inglewood about 2 years now. And we love it. We really appreciate this church because it's friendly and we're at home. So if it's your first time here, I really hope that you enjoy it and that you feel comfortable and that you get something from the Word this morning. Now, I was asked by Pastor Mark to preach a long, long while ago. And I love preaching, so I innocently said, yeah, sure. And then he messages and says, oh yeah, we want to do a series on the Bible. I'm like, okay, the Bible's a bit my jam. That's how I've been educated, is to exegete and bring the Word. I can do this. And he says, oh, by the way, your books are Job through Malachi, and you got 25 minutes. Oh. I looked at my husband, I said, the man is nuts. He is off his tree if he thinks that I can cover all these books in 25 minutes. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Yep. And I was doing mental gymnastics. I'm not kidding. I was like, how am I going to do this? I mean, I could take them on a speed dating thing. There's Job, one man's search for meaning and why life sucks. And then I'm like, ding. And then I could say Psalms, the Israelites hymn book. Yeah, ding. Next one, Proverbs, words of wisdom, ding. And I'm like, yeah, nah, that's not going to work. Even Mark's like, yeah, nah, that's not going to work. So I'm like, oh, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And I was sweating bullets because nobody wants to make a hash of the Bible. And I honestly, I'm not good, total confession time, I'm not good to live with. You can ask my husband when you see him next to live with when I have a sermon to write. I'm horrendous. And total confession. And so this one had me in an absolute twist. And I didn't know what to do, because how do you cover so much material in such a short period of time? How do you do a book that has been around for thousands of years justice? What do I do? And so I started thinking. I'm like, And then I realized, for me and for you, it should always come back to relationship. The Bible is God's letter to you and to me, declaring his love for us. It is able to divide bone and heart and touch us, or as Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The reason it does that is because it is about relationship. It's not just the words on the page. It is the person, the Godhead, that inspired it. He is pursuing us. So facts, while I can tell you, because I have been educated all about the Bible and bore you to tears, it's not going to change you. What will change you, what changes the heart, is relationship. The Bible, at its core, is the story of God's pursuit of humanity. So even though my in-laws, when I told them, yeah, I got to do Job through Malachi, they said, ha, you got given the boring books. I can do this. We can do this, church. When we read the Bible, even the boring books, which turns out really aren't boring, it's about relationship. It is about learning how much God loves you and me and all of us, and the extent from Genesis through to Revelation that he goes to have that relationship. Now, I have to say this because the theologian in me has to clarify this for you. Some of you are there sitting going, but I'm not like Job. I'm not that person. I'm not like David, who's all crazy and amazing. I'm not like all these people you read about in the Old Testament. I'm hip. I'm cool. That's not me, but you might be. And so identification is hard. What you have to understand is that you are reading somebody else's letter. This wasn't originally intended for you and for me. It was at times intended for a people that have been exiled, persecuted. The books that I have been given, the Israelites, are exiled out of Israel by the Babylonians. And so they are in a place of absolute despair. And so when you look at the prophets and when you look at the poets, so Psalms and through Proverbs and all of those ones, they are the individual and they are calling the persons, the people as individuals to come before God, to make themselves right. And then we move on to the prophets and I was like, how do we do this? And then it struck me, and my husband, he's awful helpful, so he helped. He's like, the warnings of the prophets are always about Israel's relationship with him. So the prophets are calling the Israelites to repentance, to make themselves clean, to faithfulness, if you will. And so, again, even though one is individualistic and the other is nationalistic, the purpose is the same. Are you tracking with me? You following along? Not bored to tears yet? So as we look at the Bible, and for those that you have done that have done the readings, you have the one up because you're putting in the foundation of the relationship, and that's what makes the Bible important. We are challenged, even though it's not just about us, we are challenged and called and inspired to find our place in God's story. And we do it in the script. We do it by reading. We do it by putting ourselves in their place. So it's not specific, but you can, because the word is inspired, find meaning for you. As it says in Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, a thing to give you clarity and understanding and so that you get it in today's term is about my husband. Now, I rave about my husband. I've done this lots of times on this stage because I think he's fantastic. And I think that pastors' spouses quite often don't get enough praise. I see you there, Graham. And so I think they do a great job. And one of the things that my husband does incredibly well is my celebration cards. And I have permission to tell you about this. You see, every birthday, anniversary, kid's birthday, whatever, he makes a card for me, handmade. Now, it's not frilly, but there's often photos in it, and there's words just for me.
Now, if someone picked up that card, they would understand the context of it, but they wouldn't understand the little nuances because it's not for them. And so these cards, in 100 years' time, they will make some sense, but not completely. And that's what I'm saying about Scripture, right? So I want you to understand why it is so difficult. And it brings me again to my husband, because the truth is, my husband and I haven't always been so friendly. In fact, my husband hardcore friend zoned me, and as you can tell, some of you might have figured out I haven't quite got over it. He told me no on a date 3 times. I'm still a little wounded. He decided not, and I would walk away from dates going, or not even dates. They were, Dan, do you want to go for coffee? He's like, oh yeah, why not? They were moments with Dan going, who is this dude that he would reject all of this? Like, I am nice. I am good. So, you know, I sit there and I'm like, rejection is horrendous. And yet, one of the main themes of Scripture is rejection. Not how God rejects you, but how we and the Israelites and the people of the past, present, and future have rejected God. It is continual. We hate it, and yet we do it to God all the time. And so you look at the Scripture, and it is an ongoing theme. Now, all of you, not just me, but all of you have experienced rejection at some point, whether it be a spouse, whether it be your teenager, your toddler, if you're like me, whether it be a neighbor. I have a neighbor, let's call her Morag. And man, she is a prickly pear. I'm not even kidding, right? She wanted, and again, you can hear my whinge, she wanted to cut down our front, we have a tree out the front of our bedroom window, and it gives a little privacy for, you know. And she wanted to chop it down, and I'm not kidding, this was her reasoning, because it drops leaves. It's a tree. And we said, no, Morag, that's not going to happen. And then Morag has seen me walk out the front door as I'm heavily pregnant with my second child, go, hey, fat mama. Yep. And then Morag, being Morag, has looked at my son and goes, oh, he's a dead ringer for his dad, isn't he? I'm like, yeah, he is. And she's like, poor little guy. I'm like, whoa, he's up there, Turbo. And she's just my prickly pear. She is hardcore work. She just drives me spare and rejects any offer of kindness. I'm not kidding. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And she's just like, no. She growls at my kids. And she's one of these people that takes work. You all have one of those people, right? You all know people like this. What does this have to do with the price of eggs in China or the books of Job through Malachi? A whole lot. Because like I said, one of the big themes is rejection. In the book of Hosea, he is called to go and marry a prostitute. There is more of, you know, sex, violence, and all of that in Scripture than any movie. Not kidding. He is called to go and marry an unfaithful woman and have her kids. And then God goes, Israel, that's what your relationship with me is like. You've been unfaithful to me, but I still love you. I'll still take you back. And then there's Jeremiah. This dude is called to preach and prophesy to the nations in his birthday suit, not for a week, not for a month, but for 3 years. He preaches in the nude and calls Israel back to relationship with God and says, this is what it's like. This is what you're being like. If you want to read some funky stories, read the Old Testament. I'm not talking about Numbers
and Chronicles and all the, you know, the lists of genealogies. Go and have a look at the prophets, because they're cray-cray. They really, really are.
But getting back to this story,
but God continues to inspire the prophets and the psalmist to write these words so that you and I and those gone before us and who will come after us will understand how much he loves us. Which brings me, and this is where I'm getting excited, it brings me to Isaiah. You're like, oh, really? Isaiah, of all places? No, Isaiah 53. Now go with me, if you've got your Bible or you want to look up on screen, go with me to Isaiah 53. Now, I just got to find it because I totally wasn't following my notes at all. Isaiah 53, verses 2 to 6, and it says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a green shoot or a green root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract him to us. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Let that sink in. Now, I know you've got your glasses on. You're like, yeah, she's going to talk about Jesus. Jesus is Word made flesh. So, yeah, I am. Jesus is the love letter God writes in person. We look at the Bible and we think of it as a dusty old book sometimes, and we think, there's nothing here for me. Or if you're new to the faith, how am I supposed to understand this? Look at Christ. This author both writes poetic and prophetic in the one. So this is why I came to it. And points the way to Christ. Jesus is who you must find in Scripture. Don't go looking for morality. Don't go looking for wisdom unless you're willing to meet Christ. Because I can guarantee if you go looking with an open heart and you read it understanding that God wants to pursue a relationship with you, you will encounter Christ. God is desperate to win back his people. Desperate. And he goes about it through sacrifice, and he goes about it through forming what we now know as the Jewish faith. But realizing he doesn't work, he decides to take all our sin upon himself and be made sin so that we could be made whole. And the funny thing about God is that Jesus is not plan B. Jesus was and is and will always be God's first go-to. Because you cannot have a relationship without two parties. You can know yourself
And yeah, you say I'm in a relationship with myself, then you just end up selfish. But if you have a relationship, it always takes two parties. It's why there's the triune Godhead. Because it makes God relational. And here in Isaiah, God cannot help but go, hey, I want to talk about my son. I want to talk about what I'm going to do. Now, a lot of scholars say that it's about Israel, and it very well may have been to the original writer. But you can find Christ there. And that's the point. For us as Christians and those that are seeking, Jesus is the point of the Bible. He is Word made flesh. He is God relational. And I know I get excited about this because I've got nothing else to offer you but Christ. And that is everything, church. And you should be jumping up and down out of your seats because it's the best thing I can give you. He is everything. Amen. Get excited for those of you that know Christ because you know everything there ever is to know. Are you with me? Okay, I'm not on my own on this. Good, good. You're all just a bit quiet and I feel like I'm preaching to a train. But okay. As it says again, and I love Isaiah for this because it's like Isaiah couldn't help himself but talk about Jesus. It's like he had the note. But Isaiah 61, let me get it right because I don't want to mislead any of you. Verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives will be released, and the prisoners will be freed." That's the verse that Jesus goes to when he preaches in the temple. He says, "This has been fulfilled today." Jesus has come to set you free. And I say it with tears in my voice because it is everything to me. He is everything to me. Jesus is not an it, he's a person. He is everything. He carries every burden. We can go to him with the biggest thing and with the smallest thing. And yeah, I got given Job to Malachi, but I will preach Jesus the live long day. So I will always find a way to tell you about him because, like I said, it's all I've got. The Bible is God's love letter to humanity, but Jesus is Word in flesh. The Bible continually shows that God never gives up on relationship with us. Did everything, including die on a cross. My husband has done a lot for me, but he's yet to die for me. Honey, I know you're watching at home. Please don't. That's not what I require. Jesus has. And what's more, that makes this more exciting is that, and it's even better, he's risen to life. You are not in a relationship with a dead person. You're in relationship with a living, breathing God who is as present today as he ever will be. You think he talked to the prophets? Get down on your knees and pray and he'll talk to you too. Amen? Amen. Thank you. The Methodist just went a bit Pentecostal. I know the idea of a love letter seems a bit sappy. And if you're a dude, it's a bit jarring. But let me put it another way. It's like the best letter that your favorite parent can ever write to you. My mum has passed away now, a long time ago. And one of the things she did for me was she handwrote me letters. I still have them, and I still read them. Think about it. When it talks about eating the Word, think about the Bible as eating and consuming the sweet honeyed words of God. Don't think about it with our society's sex-saturated mindset, because it skews everything and it's not what God intended. What God intends in Scripture is intimacy. It's closeness. It's relationship. And so when you look at the books like Song of Songs, which they're so spicy back in the day that you could only read them when you got to 30 and if you're a dude. Like, these books are invigorating, but it is not meant to be read with today's broken mindset that skews everything. It's meant to be read understanding that these words bring life. When it talks about in hymns and songs and in the word being in love with God, that's not what it is focusing on, is not sex, but intimacy and coming before God and bearing all to Him and only Him, because He is the one that knows you. But it is two-way, because He wants to be known by you. And the only way that this occurs is in relationship. And so I am like one of the prophets calling you to go spend time in the Word and deepen your relationship with Him. If we as a church would be willing to eat the Scriptures, to let it be in our mouths and go into our stomachs, which in that day was considered the heart, just for a piece of info, and let it be like honey, we will become changed and we will move. We will be people that will be compassionate, that will live up to the message, which says to mission of the church, which says to love others. Because we will know, because we have an intimate relationship, that we are loved. It has a knock-on effect, and it's huge. And it doesn't matter if you're single. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It is above creed. It is above gender and all of the trappings that this world gets hung up on. God doesn't and isn't bothered by who you think you are, because He sees you and knows you and still wants to be in relationship with you. He's not some guy on the street who doesn't think your body's good enough, or some woman looking with money goggles thinking that you don't make enough. He looks at the heart, which is what it says in Samuel. And He wants to know you. And so eat the Word. Build that intimacy with God. Reading God's Word and actively listening with your heart will help you understand His heart. Read it over and over so that God's Word can be imprinted in your heart. It's not going to be easy. Like any relationship, it takes time. It takes energy. Effort. Man, that is something that my mother used to say to me all the time. Marriage is hard work, but it's worth doing. And it's true. Any relationship is hard work, but it is worth doing. A relationship with God is hard work, but it is the best kind of work. It is worth it. As you read your Bible this week, and I've been a bit all over the shop, but my challenge is to read it not as though it's a chore. If there's a story that's niggling at your brain, go read that story in the Scriptures. Go read the thing that you identify with. You don't have to read what other people say you have to read. Go and investigate in a way that suits you. My father used to read the book from front to back. And my husband has read the Bible over and over. I am literally all over the shop. I read bits here and bits there, and yes, I've read whole books, but I am not a front-to-back kind of girl. For me, my relationship means that I read the Bible all over the place, and I've read different bits, and I love all of it, but I'm just not that organized. And so read it in a way that you want to eat it. If you are a veggies kind of person first, go and eat your veggies and then eat your meat. If you're a meat kind of eater first, go and eat the meat and then eat the veggies. I don't care how you consume the Bible, just eat it. And I know I keep coming back to this, but the point it is great analogy, because it is the bread of life, and it will fill you and transform you and grow you like nothing else. Are you with me? Does this make sense to you? My burden is that you would understand that it is a letter that God has written. And if you take nothing else away from my ramblings, take away the fact that this is God's love letter to humanity, and we find it in Christ. Christ is God's word in flesh, and we are to consume and eat the word so that we may be fed and changed and grow into Christians that do what God commands, and that is to love others as Christ loved us. As it says in Ezekiel 3, and if a music person can come up, the Son of Man, Ezekiel 3 verses 1 to 3, Son of Man, eat whatever you find here, eat the scroll, and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of Man, feed your belly with this scroll I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Devour God's word like you would your favorite food, your favorite song, or note written just for you, remembering that you are loved by him. We all are. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter written, that we would know you and be known by you, that we are able to meet Christ. Transform us. Grow us into children that are healthy and strong and willing to love others. Lord, build that relationship with us. Be with us, that we would be your children, called by your name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this word. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Shannon. Coming behind you here. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't give you guys an opportunity now to come into that relationship with Jesus. I just love the way that Shannon gets so excited about it, and I know that for those of us who have followed Jesus for a long time, he just makes life so exciting and so worth it, right? That's the thing. And Tracy also talked in our worship time about just how uncertain life is and the uncertainty that surrounds everything, even though for us over here in Perth, we're watching a lot of it happen. But that doesn't mean that doesn't affect us, right? So in this moment, I just would love us to just have a moment of quiet as Kerry plays, and why don't we just shut our eyes? And if you've been hearing about this relationship thing with Jesus this morning and you're like, I want to be part of that, I want to enter into that relationship. If that's you, what I want you to do is just I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything like that, just pop your hands out in front of you as an act of, this is me. Jesus, I want this relationship with you. Father, I pray that if anyone is responding in this way in this moment, Lord, you see them. And Jesus, come into their life. If that's you, just pray along with me. Jesus, I want to be in relationship with you. I thank you that you know me and everything that I have done, and you still love me. I want to be in relationship with you today. Would you come into my life and change me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And that's as simple as it is. If you prayed that, I would love to see you afterwards. Come and see me. I'd love to give you a Bible. And as Shannon was speaking, there was something else that I thought that for those of us who we've been following Jesus for a long time, and maybe you've sort of lost that little spark that's inside of you, that as Shannon stands and she gets excited, you're like, I wish I could be like that. I wish that I felt that. Do you know what? You can feel that again. After so long of following Jesus, it's, you know, life happens, right? Stuff happens, and it takes us away from him and takes us away from that feeling of, you know, when we first might have become a Christian and prayed that prayer that we just prayed, and we felt the electricity of that, right? And maybe that's gone away for you. If that is you, I want to offer an opportunity for you to respond now as well. And we're going to just do it in the same way. Everyone just bow your heads and shut your eyes. This is just so that we can have our own moment with God here. If that's you, I want you to do the same thing. Just pop your hands out in front of you and respond in this moment. Lord Jesus, for those of us who love you, have loved you for a long time, but we don't feel that spark, we don't feel that electricity, God, would you bring that back into our lives right now? Lord, we acknowledge that life has happened, life has taken us away from you, has taken us away from that excitement that we maybe once felt, but we don't feel it now. We know, Lord, that you are above our feelings and all of that, God, but in this moment, we ask, God, that you would reinvigorate that excitement within us. Holy Spirit, would you awaken your church in this moment? Awaken that excitement within us, Lord, that just longs to open our scriptures and that longs to do life with you in a way that it just feels electric again. Lord, I believe that as we're here and as we're responding, that your Holy Spirit is coming through and that you are awakening our hearts once again. Father, would you reinvigorate your church in this moment? We thank you for the scriptures, for the way that they speak to us, the way that they shape our lives. And God, we don't want to manufacture anything in this moment. We don't want to manufacture any feelings or anything like that, God. But we do believe in you, and we believe in your power. In your power to excite us, to motivate us, God, to lead us in our lives. So for anyone who in this moment is feeling like, I want that spark back again, would you give it back right now in Jesus' name? Would you give it to us again, Lord? And we respond, God, acknowledging that you love us. That you love us no matter what we've done. You love us no matter what's been going on in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus, in your name. We all pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Shannon. It's been so wonderful to gather together in our church today. And you know what? As Shannon was speaking, we've got actually a reading plan at the moment that we're doing together as a church. And if you would like to join us on that and you're like, oh, this is the first I've heard about it, get onto our social media, follow us. You can see what we're reading each day. It's a wonderful thing that we're reading together. But also, can I encourage you that if you are new and actually, even if you're like, I want to be added to the church e-news, you can fill out one of these blue forms down the back there. You can also scan the QR code and that will take you to the online form as well. But there is a church e-news that you can jump onto with your email address and we will tell you all about the reading plans and everything that's happening in the church. Because next week, Pastor Mark is back and he is bringing our last week of our Bible series. And you know what? He's going to take us through the entirety of the New Testament all in one week. So we're going to be here for 12 hours, everybody. No, just kidding. It's going to be fantastic. And this has been such a great series, hasn't it? Hasn't it? I feel like you guys are like, ooh, I'm a bit dark. She can't hear me. No, it's been so wonderful to journey through the Bible with you all. And you know what? If you've responded in this moment, either come and see me if that was the first time you prayed that prayer, or just tell someone next to you. Whoever you came with, tell your friends, say, hey, look, I asked for that. I wanted more of Jesus again. Or I prayed this prayer. Will you pray with me? But as we leave, I'd love us to stand together, and I want to pray a prayer of blessing over each of us. And you receive this at home as well. Thank you, God, that you love us, that your scriptures tell us that over and over and over again, and that you chase after us, God. We are so grateful. We are so humbled by that, God. And I pray for each one of us here and watching at home, Lord, that you would watch over us this week. Bless each one, I pray, God. And as we've heard now, may we take what we've heard, Lord, and may you shape us and mold us into the people who you want us to be. Bless each one, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.